Well, I've discovered everything at Hawke this week has been about the jungle. And I wonder, has anybody here ever actually been, not in the plastic jungle and the crepe paper jungle, has anybody been in real jungle? Put up your hand if you've ever been in real jungle. Yeah, some of us have. I've been to a few places that have real jungle. And you know, I've met some people who have farms right on the edge of the jungle. And trying to grow your crops when your farm is right next to the jungle can present some problems. Can anybody think about what some of those problems might be? What would be a problem if you're trying to grow crops right next to the jungle? Oh, I see a little hand right at the back. Yeah? Somebody might have to relay that to me. The river, well, you could fall in the river, yeah? That'd be a bit of a problem. What else could be a problem?
Animals and predators.
Yeah, you could get eaten by a lion. That'd be a problem. Was that your one? Yeah, good thinking. Noel's pointing at a head that I can't see, but I believe there's someone there. Oh, they said it, yeah. Well, a lot of people picked up on the getting eaten by a lion could be a problem when you were trying to grow your crops thing. What else could be a problem? Right on the edge of the jungle? Yeah. If I was a monkey, I'd be coming down to eat the food that you were growing for me. That'd be a problem. Maybe one more. What else? Ah, lots of weeds in the jungle. That's a good point. We might even come back to that one. Trying to grow your crops right next to the jungle kind of presents some difficulties. But farmers in the jungle aren't the only ones who face challenges, though. Jesus lived, he didn't live anywhere near the jungle, but he lived in a part of the world where there were lots of small farms, not that different to the sort of farms I've seen in my travels near the jungle. And when he was teaching about God, sometimes Jesus used to tell little stories that were drawn from the everyday life of a guy who was trying to grow a few crops on a little piece of land. And one of those stories is the one that Hayden read for us. And in the story, this farmer goes scattering seed. And some of the seed falls on the path, and the path is hard because people have been trampling all over it day and night. And so the seed can't penetrate into the soil, and so it just sort of sits there until the birds swoop down and they peck it up and it's eaten. Some of the seed falls in a patch where there is some dirt, but it's just this thin covering over a whole bunch of rocks. There's enough dirt that the seed can start to germinate. There's a good word I learned during the week when I was looking up Wikipedia. It can start to germinate, but the rocky soil won't hold any water, and so the plant doesn't get enough to drink, and so when the day gets hot, it shrivels up and it dies. Some of the seed falls in another patch where there is plenty of dirt, but there's already seeds in the dirt. Seeds for tough, thorny, noxious weeds. And so when the crops start to grow up, so do the weeds, and the weeds suck all the nutrients out of the soil and they grow up faster, and eventually they choke all of the crops before they can produce any grain. Thankfully for the farmer, some of the seed falls on ground that isn't path, isn't hiding rocks, isn't hiding weeds, and that seed grows fruitful and it grows strong. And eventually there's such a big crop that they're able to harvest way more than they sowed in the first place. It's kind of a cute little story. But Jesus clearly thinks that it's more than just a cute little story. That's why his punchline is, "He who has ears, let him hear." He's going, "I'm actually saying something important with this little story. I'm saying something important that not all of you are going to get. Only some of you will." And I wonder, do you get the important message that Jesus has wrapped up in this little story? The guys he was telling it to, his disciples, they didn't get it. In their defence, most of them were fishermen rather than farmers, and so they were a bit out of their league and they didn't have Wikipedia like I did to go and look stuff up. So Jesus explained the story to them. And in verse 18 he tells them, listen to what the parable of the sower means. And he tells them firstly that the seed is the message of the kingdom of God. The message of the kingdom is the news that Jesus, the guy telling this little story, he's not just some Palestinian country boy who tells a good story. The message of the kingdom is that Jesus was sent from God. He was sent on a shocking mission. His mission was to die a horrible death and then to rise again to a new life that is far beyond the reach of death. And he had to do that. He had to do it because this world and every person in this world is, from God's perspective, broken. And every single one of us needs to be made new again. And so Jesus came to bring the new life that God thinks we need. The seed is the message that Jesus is the King who God wants everyone to trust and follow. Okay, so what's the seed that falls on the path? Well, verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Some people hear the message of Jesus and they just go, I don't get it. Doesn't make sense to me. A lot of the time, the bit that they can't understand is that God thinks there's anything broken about them. They think of themselves as, you know, I'm a pretty together person. And so they get pretty uncomfortable when God suggests that maybe things look different from his perspective. Or they hear God say things that don't fit with their existing assumptions about life. And they hear God say things that don't fit with the way they think about God. And so when they find themselves and God on sort of different wavelengths, well, obviously God's the one who's got it wrong and it's his perspective that doesn't make sense. And the devil, who often they don't understand either, goes, thank you very much. Which soil are you? What's the seed that falls in the rocky soil? Have a look from verse 20. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Some people are enthusiastic about Jesus and they want to know more. They get right into church, they get right into the Bible and stuff. But then other people can make it hard to follow Jesus. There's a spouse or parents who aren't interested. There's the girlfriend who's horrified. There's the workmate, the person at school who thinks it's all a joke. And so in the end, they decide Jesus isn't worth the effort. Or they discover that when Jesus said, whoever would come after me must take up his cross daily, when he said it, he meant it. And so the time comes when they realise that Jesus requires me to change something if I'm going to follow him. Some people respond to the message of Jesus with this burst of enthusiasm. It's like one of those fireworks on New Year's Eve. Starts like this and then fades away to nothing. They start strong, but then they don't realise there can be a price to following Jesus. They don't get that spiritual change. Well, it involves becoming different. Sometimes it involves having the blowtorch applied. They don't understand it takes a certain level of courage to follow Jesus. And so when it gets hard, they give up. And so they never get to the point of learning that Jesus is worth the price. Which sort of seed are you? What's the seed that falls among the weeds? Have a look at verse 22. The one who receives the seed that fell among thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. Again, these are people who start with this enthusiasm for Jesus, but they're also enthusiastic about lots of other things. And over time, those other things actually become more important than Jesus. And the result is the spiritual life gets choked out of them. In, you know, when you're a kid, you know, having the right friends, when you're a bit older, getting the right marks. When you're a bit older again, achieving sort of sporting glory, that becomes all the time and effort goes there. Maybe it's raking in the cash, that then becomes the thing that Jesus has got to dance around. And then you get to middle age and it's winning at the career game, or it's the responsibilities of family, or it's just the fruit of material success. And then you get old and you're retired and it's seeing the world, or maybe it's just worrying about my health and how many times I've got to go to the doctor. Jesus says that some people start to trust him, but over time other things choke out that faith. And to be honest, I think in our part of the world, this is lots of people. In my job, I meet lots of people who are very interested in spiritual things, even people who are really warm towards Jesus. But a lot of them never get very far because they never have time to learn more about his message because they're too busy doing other things. Never have time to get to know him because, you know, life's pretty hectic. Never have time to join his church. Sundays are so full. They don't even realise that all those good things that, you know, they're prioritising, and they are good things. They're squeezing out the best thing, spiritual life, from them. They don't see that, you know, that just makes them more and more broken from God's perspective. If we live like busy is the definition of the fruitful life, then we never get around to discovering the real definition, God's definition of the fruitful life. Which soil are you? The final soil is the good soil. And have a look at verse 23. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. For some people, God has softened up the ground, he's cleared away the rocks, he's cleared away the weeds. And so when the seed of his word reaches them, it does germinate and it flourishes, and ultimately it produces fruit. Some people hear the message of Jesus and they start to follow Jesus and they never stop. Now, they sometimes pass through some challenging times. Sometimes they get frustrated at how often their faith doesn't translate into action, but they keep following him for the rest of their life. And their life produces the fruit of good works and of new character. Over time, they learn a faithfulness and a trustworthiness that reflects that of their king. They learn a generosity and a patience that reflects that of their king. They learn a noble humility. They learn a capacity for peace that reflects that of their king. They learn a capacity to serve, and they learn a steely courage in the face of opposition that reflects that of their king. They discover the secret of what God considers a fruitful life. And they discover the joy and the hope that comes with that. My question this morning is, which soil are you? Which soil are you? Are these words of Jesus, are they making no impression on you whatsoever? Or are you someone who's let your spiritual life get scorched or get choked out by other priorities? Or is the message of Jesus this morning doing its powerful transforming work in you? Which soil are you? And I guess more to the point, which soil do you want to be? Does this idea of living a fruitful life for God, does that actually stir something in you? Is that something that you want? Are you willing to invest time? Are you willing to invest brain power in getting to know the message and getting to know the guy that the message is about? If I'm talking to you now, here is my call to action. In the foyer, you'll find a bunch of these. That's just a bit of the Bible about Jesus. Take it home and read it. And then come back again next week. Don't let anything else get in the way. Don't let any other priority, any weed, get in the way of you doing that. Come back and hear more about Jesus. See more of the difference Jesus makes in this community of people. Maybe arrange to sit with me or somebody else, preferably over coffee and cake, to talk about Jesus. It's my preferred way of talking about Jesus, over coffee and cake. But don't go home without being clear what sort of soil you are and what sort of soil you want to be. Kids, you've been really, really good through all of that. Will you pray with me? And then we'll sing this song that I can't spell. Father, thank you that Jesus told us this story to show us the people you want us to be. Father, we pray that you make us soil that is good soil, where the seed of your word produces great fruit that makes us more like Jesus. Father, make us people who aren't rocky soil. Make us people who aren't soil full of weeds. Make us people who aren't that hard soil of the path. Father, make us good soil and make us fruitful for your glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.